questions. Now, oh,
Okay, got it.
we're recording now. Okay. So
Yeah.
this chapter concludes a section of Isaiah in which the prophet pronounces judgments against the various nations. Now, in this section, Isaiah pronounced judgments against Babylon, Assyria, Philistia, which is where the Philistines were, Moab, Damascus, Samaria, Ethiopia, Egypt, Edom, and Arabia. So just basically everywhere around Israel was there was prophecies against it. Isaiah even included a prophecy against Jerusalem because the people of the city had adopted the evil practices of their neighboring countries. Now, Isaiah concludes these judgments with an oracle or a burden, if you will, that's another translation of that word, against the city of Tyre. Now, for those of you who really like to dig deep in your studies, there's a book out by Dr. W.B. Fleming. It was written in 1915, and it's called The History of Tyre. And it clarifies a lot of the text in Isaiah concerning its destruction. And this book is actually, I did some research, it's actually in digital form, and it can be found on the internet. And basically, many of the literal fulfillments of prophecy in Isaiah can be found in that historical text. It's a book that's about 194 pages long, so it's not a super long read. But if you ever want to dig deep into that I highly recommend that book. Now, this chapter deals specifically with the commercial trade of the Phoenicians in the city of Tyre. In the Gospels, you often hear Jesus refer to the cities of Tyre and Sidon. These two Gentile cities were located very near each other, just north of Israel along the Mediterranean coast. When Jesus pronounced judgment against some of the cities in Israel, specifically in the northern part of Israel, that had rejected him, he said that it would be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for those cities. You know, Jesus had done miracles in Chorazin and in Bethsaida and Capernaum, where Jesus based his ministry. You know, his ministry was based out of Capernaum. And he'd done multitudes of miracles in that area. In fact, that area is called, I think they call it the Evangelical Triangle, because it's in that area. If you draw a triangle around those cities, that about 80% of all the miracles Jesus did in his public ministry were done right in that area. And basically, those Jews, regardless of seeing all those miracles, they still rejected Jesus. Now, the Gospels do speak of Jesus going into the area of Tyre. You see that in Matthew chapter 15. And Mark's Gospel tells us that Jesus went there and he cast a demon out of the daughter of a Syrophoenician woman. And so this daughter was delivered from this demon possession. Now, in between Tyre and Sidon, there's another town that you may be familiar with in the scriptures from the Old Testament. It's the town of Zarephath. Now you're thinking, well, now where do I know Zarephath from? Well, Jesus mentions that it was there that the prophet Elijah was sent to care for a widow. And if you go back into 2 Samuel chapter 5, Tyre has a very interesting history because it dates all the way back to that time. When David went to King Hiram, who was the king of Tyre, and the king of Tyre, Hiram, sent carpenters and stonemasons to assist David in building his house in Jerusalem. So Tyre has a long history, a long biblical history. There's some debate over the exact date of David's reign, probably around 1000 BC, during that time. Isaiah gave this prophecy around 700 BC, or about 300 years after David's reign. Now, one thing we want to understand as we look at this prophecy, it's important to understand that Isaiah is simply communicating what God has spoken to him. That doesn't mean he necessarily understands all of it. Just because a prophet gave a prophecy didn't mean that he comprehended exactly what God was doing. Some things that Isaiah mentions will happen shortly after this prophecy, while others are still even yet to this day yet to be fulfilled. So Isaiah is sort of giving us a near picture of future events. He's also giving us a far picture of future events, events that will take place in the Messianic kingdom. And so sometimes those pictures are interwoven, so it can be a little bit confusing. So we're going to try to untangle some of that as we look at this passage. Now, we do have one advantage because we're looking at this prophecy 2,700 years after it was given. So we are able to better to distinguish between those near and those far prophecies, because obviously the near prophecies are the ones that have already been fulfilled, and we can look at that and go, okay, now we see where that happened. Whereas the far prophecies, obviously the ones in the Messianic kingdom, are yet to be fulfilled. So let's pick up in verse 1. It says, "The oracle concerning Tyre." Now, the name Tyre comes from a root word in Greek, tesor or sor, TSOR, meaning rock. And apparently it received its name because the city was built on a rock in the sea near the coast, about a mile off the coast. And it was most prosperous around the 9th or the 10th century BC. Now, the city of Tyre today, there is a city in Lebanon called Tyre, but it's just above the border of Israel, but it is not the same city, or it's not the location of the same city. And so it's important to understand that when you look at a map today, if you look at go on Google Maps or something and you look at it, you're not going to see the same location because the city we're going to be talking about here, primarily most of it was actually out in the Mediterranean Sea. And we'll talk about that more as we get into it. Now, the city survived at least two attacks by foreign countries. The first siege was by Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria. And according to the historian Menander, as he was quoted by Josephus, which was a very popular historian back in the day, the siege lasted for 5 years. And Shalmaneser blockaded the city. He was unable to defeat the city, so he basically gave up. Now, the second siege was by a king with most, which most of you are familiar with, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, in 585 BC. Now, the interesting thing about that siege was Nebuchadnezzar besieged the city for 13 years. Now, imagine that. He brought in troops basically for 13 years. Now, during this time, he would occasionally pull back some of his troops and he would mount campaigns against other nations, but he always returned to continue his attack on Tyre. When Nebuchadnezzar finally took the city, now, part of the city was actually on the coast. It was actually on the mainland. When he finally took that city, then the troops entered the city. They found out that the majority of the people had already fled the city and they had taken ships to an island about a mile out to sea where they established the new city of Tyre. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in this passage. Nebuchadnezzar was not equipped to wage war with a naval campaign. So after 13 years, he just went home. Now, a third siege, and this is where it gets very interesting. A third siege upon Tyre was brought by Alexander the Great in 332 BC. And Alexander the Great was heading south along the Mediterranean coast as he was basically conquering nation after nation and sort of dominating the world. And so he had just taken Sidon, and Sidon was just above there. And as he moves south, he doesn't want to leave Tyre, this undefeated city, on his flank. He feels he needs to make sure he subdues this island city because he doesn't want to have someone, an enemy, come in behind him while he's moving southward. So, Alexander the Great, he lacked a navy at that time. And so he orders the ruins of the old city of Tyre, the one that was right on the seacoast, be thrown basically into the sea and used to build a causeway out to the island. So basically, he's going to build a causeway a mile out into the Mediterranean Sea to conquer the city of Tyre that is on this island. Now, when he got within about 150 feet of the island, and by the way, one thing I want to say about that causeway was this was not just some type of walking path that he made out there. The archaeologists believe that the causeway that he built was probably the width of two football fields. So this was a huge, huge path that he was building out to the city of Tyre. And when he got within about 150 feet of the island, the water depth was getting deeper and deeper. At that point, it was about 18 feet deep. And so it was taking more and more materials to build up to actually build the causeway out there. So what he decided to do was he built two towers on the causeway, and he put catapults and trebuchets on these towers, and began to launch stones and fire things towards the city to try to soften up the city. And to counter this attack, the people of Tyre, they sent out barges with oil barrels attached to the mast so that when the mast caught fire, the barge would burn down, and it basically they ran them up on the causeway where the towers were, and basically they burnt down the towers that Alexander the Great had built. Now, obviously, this made Alexander the Great livid, and he lost 400 soldiers in that attack. So when about 7 months later, after 7 months of building this causeway out there, he finally conquered the city. And because he was so angry with the people of that city, he immediately killed 3,000 people in the city and took another 6,000 and sold them into slavery. So that was actually what sort of earned him the name Alexander the Great, because the first siege by the Assyrians lasted 5 years to no avail. The second siege lasted 13 years by Babylon, and basically they wound up with nothing once the people escaped. And so now, what had taken them so long, Alexander the Great came in 7 months and conquered the city. And so he was known, because I think basically he conquered pretty much the known world by the time he was 33 when he died. So just an amazing story behind this city. Now, as we look at this passage, and boy, I know what you're thinking, man, he's only gotten through verse one. How long are we going to be here tonight? So no, but as we get into verse one, that gives you a little bit of a background. So Isaiah says, "Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is destroyed. Without house or harbor, it is reported to them from the land of Cyprus, be silent, you inhabitants of the coastland, you merchants of Sidon, your messengers crossed the sea and were on many waters." Now, Tyre was the leading city of Phoenicia, and it was a great maritime power in the ancient world. And because it was such an important harbor, Tyre had, in a sense, become the epicenter for world trade. Because it had made other nations wealthy who shipped their products through this port, it became synonymous with commerce, but it also became synonymous with materialism. And the prophet Ezekiel talks about the downfall of the king of Tyre, and many believe that this is a description that's symbolic of Lucifer's fall from heaven when you read it in Ezekiel chapter 28, specifically verses 11 through 19. And as many of you know, if you want some good background to this passage, you want to read Ezekiel chapter 26 and Ezekiel chapter 28. Now, Isaiah tells us the ships of Tarshish are to wail over the destruction of Tyre. Now, the exact location of Tarshish, and that's a town that we hear of or a city that we hear of frequently in the scriptures, we really don't know the exact location of it. However, many Bible scholars believe that it was somewhere near Spain or near Gibraltar. We do know from scripture that it was another important trading port, and they traded various things like precious metals, like, gold, silver, iron, tin. And they were also known for exporting ivory, apes, and peacocks. Now, why do I say that? Well, 1 Kings chapter 10, 2 Chronicles chapter 9 tell us that those were a lot of where those exports came from. And if I recall correctly, I believe that Solomon exported a lot of those things from Tarshish and brought them back in, when he built his palace. So the news of Tyre's destruction evidently reached the land of Cyprus we see here. Now, Cyprus is a large island in the Mediterranean. It's about 180 miles from Tyre. And it was a critical part of the trade route through the Mediterranean to other countries. And so if Tyre was destroyed, it would impact the trade in Cyprus in much the same way that, when we look. If you get up in the morning and you find out that the stock markets in Japan have tanked, guess what? It's probably going to happen in the United States too. Various markets around the world affect other markets. And so when Tyre is destroyed, Cyprus is going to be affected, Tarshish is going to be affected. And so all the other areas are also going to be affected by this. Now, in reading this, we have to remember that communication was very slow in the ancient world. They didn't have newspapers, they didn't have television, internet, or social media. So, today we look at things in real time. I came in the other morning or the other afternoon, I'm sorry, I came in the other afternoon from work, and I walked in and turned on the news, and I saw that, Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon were, firing missiles at each other and stuff like that. Well, I saw it almost in immediate time. You're getting that information almost immediately. Now, in the ancient world, it could take, weeks or months for to get information about what was going on. We're so used to having things in real time, but the ancient news traveled, from foreign lands took quite a while. So when Cyprus hears the news, they begin to weep over the destruction of this important seaport because they know how it's going to affect them. Another area that weeps over this, that is distressed by this, is Egypt. And we see that in verse 3. It says, "The grain of the Nile, the harvest of the river was her revenue, and she was the market of nations. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea speaks, the stronghold of the sea, saying, I have neither travailed nor given birth, I've neither brought up young nor reared virgins. When the report reaches Egypt, they will be in anguish at the report of Tyre." Now, let me say this. Some of your translations, when I said in verse 3, the grain of the Nile, some of your translations don't say the name Nile, but they say Sihor, Sihor is basically another name for the Nile. The word Sihor actually means trouble, and you'll find that in, I went back to look at that. Sihor is mentioned in the King James, New King James, the NIV, ESV, CSB, and Amplified. But in the New American Standard, it's mentioned as the Nile. Now, Isaiah mentions the harvest of the Nile, and the harvest of the Nile was seed, it was grain, it was corn. The Egyptians enjoyed something very special in their agriculture because every year the Nile would flood in the springtime. And when it flooded, it brought in all the silt out of the Mediterranean. And then when there was floods, the floodwaters receded, then basically what would happen was it would leave this very rich soil, and the farmers would go out and plant in the plains along the Nile. And so they had this like natural fertilizer every year, which made it perfect for growing, wheat, corn, grain, cotton, those types of things. So Egypt supplied most of the countries around the Mediterranean with wheat. Most people depended upon Egypt for their food sources. And therefore, Egypt was, as it says in this passage, a market to the nations, because they ship their product through Tyre. Now, when the report of Tyre's destruction reaches the merchants of Egypt, they're in anguish. Sidon was the mother city of Tyre. It's later surpassed by Tyre's prosperity, but that's why it's called, the daughter of Tyre, or the mother of Tyre. What is it? I'm not sure which one it says in there. But anyway, these two cities were related. Now, Sidon is told to be ashamed for the stronghold of the sea. Tyre was known as the stronghold of the sea because it withstood several enemy attacks. And while Tyre was a strong fortress, what he's saying here is that it never gave birth to any other colonies. So, it went when the calamity struck the city, it had not really sent out a lot of people to start other colonies, to colonize other areas. And so now Isaiah once again speaks to the city of Tarshish in verses 6 and 7. He says, "Pass over to Tarshish, wail, O inhabitants of the coastland. Is this your jubilant city, whose origin is from antiquity, whose feet used to carry her to colonize distant places?" So, as I mentioned earlier, we don't know the exact location of Tarshish. Many believe it was near Gibraltar. Many say that it was just a little bit north of Spain, but it was definitely west on the Mediterranean. So, the Greek name for Tarshish is actually Tartessos, which is also the name for an old city in Spain. So that's why a lot of people make that connection there and say that somehow it's related to Spain. Now, according to Genesis 10, the city received its name from one of the descendants of Japheth, who was one of the sons of Noah. If you go back to Genesis chapter 10, verse 4, you find a reference there, just for information there. But what does it mean when Isaiah says to pass over to Tarshish? Well, there are various explanations on for this comment, for this passage, but it appears to be a response of the Egyptian merchants when they hear that Tyre has fallen. Egypt depended heavily upon Tyre to distribute their crops to the rest of the world. Well, if Tyre was unable to ship Egypt's grain, the wheat, the corn, whatever it may be, cotton, whatever, then they didn't have a market for their product to the rest of the world. So it didn't matter how much of they grew or how prosperous they were, if they couldn't ship it out, if they couldn't distribute it, then they couldn't make the money. They couldn't, there was no prosperity as a result of it. So after the initial shock of Tyre being destroyed, the other countries are, they're starting to ask, well, wait a minute, how could this have happened? How could this have possibly happened to Tyre? And you think about this because we're going to see Tyre in future passages referring into the millennial reign. And so the question comes up, the nations are asking, this city that was so prosperous, that was so luxurious, that was such a stronghold, how could it fall? And that's an interesting question because there's a lot of pride in a lot of nations in the history of our world where they thought that they were invincible. And nation after nation has fallen. Well, they're asking this, and so they asked this in verse 8. They said, "Who is playing this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were honored of the earth? The Lord of hosts has planned it to defile the pride of her, all her beauty, to despise all the honored of the earth." Now, this is an interesting passage because the question is brought up by the world who planned this destruction against Tyre. Why would anyone want to destroy this illustrious city that has been able to promote wealth? It was eventually defeated and turned into nothing, but he's going to revisit that nation and he brings repentance and they turn to the Lord. So it's indeed the kindness of God and his tolerance and patience that produces that within us, that brings us to that place of repentance in our own lives. When I became a believer in Jesus Christ, it was not the fear of God or the fear of hell or anything like that. It was the kindness of God that led me to that place of repentance. So we also remember that when we have friends and loved ones who are unbelievers and we begin to pray for them, let us trust that it's the kindness of God that can bring them to that place of repentance. And so that is Isaiah chapter 23. I guess we're finished. Are we finished recording?